Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and I am here until the hour of 11 as usual. But well, as always, we have to switch. That's at 10 o'clock to the Windhoek Magistrate Court. Obviously, to listen to the, we are expecting, okay, I don't know how things ended yesterday because I was just, well, too busy in the afternoon trying to, do my job because, for several reasons. One, I'm required to do my job. Two, well, I wasn't there when they chopped the money. So one thing, obviously, that we are going to be looking forward to is, the whole thing was pushed to today at 10 o'clock on the dot. Now, that means we are going to be, we are in anticipation of, Emmanuel Malunga's, cross-examination. Since we witnessed, for the most part, the direct examination from his lawyer yesterday. Now, at this point, I'm one of those people that are going like, what do you think Malunga said that's most likely in the notes of the prosecution, and it's most likely going to make one of the questions that the state is going to ask, Stellenbosch, is it a Bachelor of Arts graduate? It turns out it's, all through the roof. Now, here's the thing. Two things that I picked up from yesterday's examination in chief of Mr. Malunga that made me go, actually, it's true. Here's the thing, lawyers, first of all, if you are going to ask your client something about his children, especially when it comes to kids, tell him in advance so that he can have a copy of their names and their ages before he starts take the stand and to start to give the prosecution a lot of material and some comedians listening somewhere at, Glen Windhoek, Eagle FM studio. One of the questions that he was asked was, say, how many kids do you have? Turns out, homeboy has been busy. Well, this is someone who's from the 70s. So he's, and he's loaded, believe me, from the look of things. So, I'm not against someone having a lot of kids if they have money to support them. Just go bananas. You can have, a lot of wives and, all those people that say, no, I can't get in a polygamous relationship. No, you're just broke. Just have money. They will get in gladly. Because money has that effect on people. If you are ugly, money will make you handsome. If you are short, money will make you tall. If you are, fat, money will make you, slim and sexy. Money has that. Forget the gym. Go make money. Now that we have cleared that out of the way, let me take you to just one part that made me go like, lawyers, it is important that, it is important that if you are going to ask your client something about kids, unless your client is a woman, make sure he has a copy, because there is a, this response here, the math is not mathing. I'm no lawyer or mathematician, but the standard math arithmetic and the legal math are not mathing. But, I'll explain that all that, mumbo jumbo of words on the other side of this audio. Now, all right, this is a recap from yesterday's discussion. So how did it go? This is partly how it went. This is just a few seconds in this interview. It's not an interview. It's a direct examination.
And Namcor and some of the other resellers like Enercon and the eco field, whatever, they are in a forever struggle to compete for the limited amount of customers that are available, especially for these large volumes of, you know, that's 500 liters per month and above, 1 million liters, 2 million liters per month and above. So there's very, very tight competition, and sometimes they fight so hard, you know, to snatch even customers from each other. So for large customers like...
Snatch customers from each other? Huh? Why does that sound like taxi drivers? Sorry, not the, you know, okay, you know, that was a terrible... But the resemblance is remarkable, especially if you are traveling out of any urban area, whether you're traveling out of Windhoek. Have you ever shown up at B1 with your bag? It turns out, you know, if you ever go to B1 with your bag and you see all those guys that are running to you, try to ask you, where are you going? Valvis Bay, Swakopo, you know, Urunduin. Well, it turns out, on a larger commercial scale, Namco is involved in the same thing. And so just before you start looking at your life like, you know what, you haven't accomplished anything, just understand that you are not the only one in that hustle. Namco is in that hustle too. They are also saying, yes, Bosa, Swakop, Valvis, participate. Oh, yeah, participate. I know. So let's get to let's get to my question. That is, 24 momentos, if you play. Make sure that I do my math correctly. Right. Okay.
Then I have a 22-year-old, and I have two 18-year-olds, then I have...
Yeah, this is how it started. Now we are done with, Namco playing Oya Valvis Bay, Boza Hobabes, and things like that. It turns out, well, if you are one of those, drivers that are driving long distance, and you think that, you don't give yourself enough credit for your hustling, you have to understand that according to Mlunga's response during the direct examination, well, Namco is also doing that. So they're just out there saying, Namibia, Bosa, Windhoek. You know, they are just out there somewhere in London saying, oh yeah, Windhoek, Swakop, Valvis, Rundu, Tifondo. So, now we get to the part of, why you shouldn't ask a man the ages of his kids. Now, that's the part I was, that's what I said. Now, the next part is the part that made me say, I have a sneaky suspicion the part I'm about to play is in the notes of the prosecution. And it's most likely of either going to be focused on or glossed through during cross-examination.
Do you own it alone, or you own it with any other person?
I own it alone.
That's his house. Yeah, you know, he owned it alone. He's not, he made it clear that he's not renting. No, he's not one of you people. You know, he's one of those people that actually he doesn't own the house. The bank does. I just like to point out that doesn't matter how rich you are, turns out in Namibia, yeah, one way or another, homeless. And I live with my uncle, homeless. There are these, there are these very fancy flats that I'm staying with, homeless. I just bought the house last year, so I'm just settling the bills with the bank. The bank owns the house, so technically you're homeless. There are a lot of homeless people in this country. When you do the statistics properly, the comedian statistics, not the NSA statistics, because according to the NSA, a lot of people own their, they don't. People that own their houses are those ones in rural areas. Those ones that, cost a little bit of deforestation for trees and, for trees and grass and build a thatched one. Those ones own their house. The ones that you see running around in winter going like, you know what, you see that house there? Ha. I got a loan from the bank last year. I bought it. If he defaulted on his payment, that house would be gone. So, technically, the house is owned by the bank. Technically, homeboy is homeless. So we had to redefine the word homeless here, because according to the NSA statistics, a lot of people have houses. According to comedian statistics, a lot of people are homeless. And I like my statistics more because it's reflecting the truth. But loaded, educated guy, please go on. Let's get to the kids, guys. Let's get to the kids.
Long time. And you have title deed to that effect.
Yeah, well, the property is bonded to the bank, so I don't have the title deed myself. But yeah, it's my property.
Yeah, but if the court would want to see if you own the property, we can get a copy and title deed. Now, can you tell the court where you were born, where you grew up, and a bit of your education background? Facing the mic in the middle.
Okay.
I just received the note from the court for that. Thank you, Worship. How many children do you have?
My favorite part.
Worship, I have 10 children.
How many?
10.
1, 0, 10. Moving on.
And 8 of them are minors.
I want you to put that 10. 10. How many children do you have? 10. And then he points out that 8 of them are minors. Now, what is a minor? Now, that's what, you know, that's what takes us to, you know, that's what takes us to... Un momento. Let me just make sure I have the... oh, yeah, that's what takes us to Child Care and Protection Act 3 of 2015. Section 10. Age of majority. That means you are not a minor anymore. A person attains the age of majority on attaining the age of 18 years old. If on the commencement of this section, a person has already attained the age of 18 years but has not attained the age of 21 years old, the person is considered to have attained the age of 18 years and the date is commencement, blah, 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 blah. But, well, they basically dive into, things that you, that you can do. You can do as an 18 year old, and things that, even though you are considered a major, aka the opposite of a minor, you are old. You are old enough to vote. You are old enough to drive. Also old enough to drink. I love that part. 18. So, look, the reason why they say, you know, you must be old in, 18 is old enough to drink. 18 is old enough for you to go out there and get laid with consent, because they know that heartbreaks is, you're going to need nabi breweries. Now, a person attains the age of majority, aka the age of adult, where you are not considered a minor anymore, as soon as you turn 18, you are not a minor anymore. So, how many kids do you have? 10. 8 of them are minors. All right. Then the lawyer now made one terrible mistake and then asked, can you give us the ages? You are asking a father to do that? Are you kidding me? A mother? Maybe. A father? Well, we're not very good at that. Now, Lucy, there's a reason why Mzwaki Mbuli said women are caregivers by nature. Because, you see, men, we don't really roll like that. Is it roll like that or roll like that? Well, depending on whether you're from Angwena or not. You roll like that or roll like that. So I have 10 kids, Your Worship. And 8 of them are minor. So then would, would automatically assume using basic arithmetic that only 2 of them are over the age of 18. Except.
The two are, on their own, but yeah, I maintain the 8 children. So.
For purpose of this hearing, Mr. Murunga, can you tell the court how old are they from the firstborn up to the lastborn?
Big mistake. That's one thing I learned yesterday. Asking a father that. Anyway, let alone in court, is a bad idea.
Yeah, the firstborn is 29 years old, and then the secondborn is 26 years old. Then I have a 22-year-old, and I have two 18-year-olds. Then I have the 13. And
ouch! Hey! Ow! Okay. Like I pointed out earlier, am I a lawyer? No. Am I a mathematician? No. But I think I can do 2 plus 2 equals 4 without a calculator. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to look for a calculator to do 2 plus 2. So let's do a simple extrapolation here. So you have 10 kids, and according to your math, Stellenbosch math, you have 8 minors. Now, according to comedy analysis here, and according to the Namibian legal system, Child Care and Protection Act 3 of 2015, just a little down to just scroll your way all the way, or page your way if you are using hard copy, all the way to section 10, and then we see that section 10 subsection 1 says a person attains the age of majority, aka they are not a minor, as soon as they turn 18 years old. Now, by using that section and a little bit of very simple math, we are able to find that out of 10 kids, and according to your Stellenbosch math, you have 8 minors out of those 10 kids, then that would mean that you only have 2 people that, you only have 2 kids that are considered legally major, aka not minor, aka they are over the age of 18. Now, could you please give us the age of your children? Well, I have a 29-year-old, that's one. I have a 26-year-old. Now, like I said, I'm no mathematician, but I know that 26 is way over 18. And I have an 18-year-old. I have a 22-year-old, also way over 18. And I have 2 18-year-old. At this point, I'm going... if Stellenbosch University is listening, they are going to call you with try to find out just how do you get this qualification and graduate from their school? Because according to the ages that you just gave us, it seems like you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that are major. So now that are 18 and above. 18 and above, you seem to have 5 of them. Now, according to simple math, 10 minus 5, that gives us 5. So, 5 minus, then it is. Right. Now. But, moving on.
In the 12 and then 11 years, and then I have, 2 that are younger than 5 years old.
Very good.
Yeah, 4 years.
So how many of them are minors?
8 of them are minors.
8, and you confirm to the court that they all depend on you?
Yes.
Now, even if we were to consider, raise the age of, even if we were to push the age of, majority to 21 years old, we'd still have 3 of them being over the age of 21. That would entail that you have 7 that are minor, not 8. But throwing that math out through the window, because we have 2 18-year-old, that leaves us with 5 minors. Now, Ray, this is one thing I'm suspecting. It's somewhere in the notes there of the prosecution. Someone is going to say, you are deceiving the state. Oh, yeah. Come here. Make I show you how not to get bail. First of all, he lives in Kleinwinduk, so if he gets his bail, I'm moving to Ondangwa to start doing my show in Ondangwa. And, I'll start talking to John so that we can have a studio in Divundu, because my cooking is getting a little bit out of hand. But guys, I literally get paid to do that. How amazing is my job? And get my teeth punched out someday, but Until then, please don't do that. I need my teeth to cook and make money. Now, moving on. So, this is a basic, that's basically a recap of what happened yesterday. And, today we are most likely going to see a cross-examination of, that gentleman. All right. And also one thing I've learned, he's loaded and he has 10 kids and he is not married. So save your money. Don't get married. Yeah. Moral of the story. But anyway. 3 minutes to the hour of 10, we are going to take a short break and just, make sure that all the set up for the, for the, magistrate, court, stream and everything is all, agaja in the, according to the, shunwasi. And then we continue, from there. This is Mind the Gap with Helmut Isofan Eagle FM. Vandaag. Die 24 ver, juli, 20, 25 jaren, 2025. You know what? You get the picture.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 3-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. The time is 10 o'clock on the dot. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 11. And sometimes I have a collabo. Sometimes I don't have a collabo, and this week we have been having quite a few collabos. Now, and in other news, we have the Bank of Namibia yesterday yesterday evening that unveiled re-imaged notes and coins. The central bank also introduced a 20-cent for some reason. 20-cent coin and announced the phasing out of the 5-cent coin. Yeah, well, it's been pretty much useless. Here's one thing though. They've already pointed out the reason behind all this is security, blah, blah, blah. The 20-cent is very green hydrogen. if you have seen the picture of the 20 cent is very green hydrogen, but the 50 cent is very droughty. That's hardly surprising. Very hardly surprising. But the $1 is one that captivated my attention because of what is going on there. There's clearly a transaction going on there. But the transaction itself seems to reflect what these administrations have been using as a motto and continues to use, that the future is what? Female. Now, let's get a picture of, if you have the new $1 bill already, $1 coin already, let's analyze it now. Not the tail, the heads. First of all, we see a giant one, to make sure you don't confuse it with any other coins. I don't remember confusing, with some African shapes going on the side. And you have two hands, one on the right, one on the left. The one on the right looks very feminine. The one on the on the left looks very, very masculine. Now, the most important part is, I can't tell if the feminine hand is putting money in the masculine hand, or the feminine hand is taking money out of the masculine hand. That's something that I feel like the central bank governor must come and explain. But, because I'm one of the guys in this country that are broke, so I'll just, it will become one of those, things of, how do I put this, point of view. Point of view. How do I put this? So, I'll look at it as because the future is female, we are going to assume the future is loaded. Now, that means, ladies, it's your turn to spoil us. That's reflected in our $1 coin that was unveiled yesterday. That it's ladies, it's your turn to take us out on dates, to take us, spoil us, drop us off, in a vrupa, not dank Botswana. Oh yeah, we are in our soft guy era, thanks to the future being female. Ladies, thank you very much for taking it over. Thank you very much for making the, the future so female. The central bank governor was like, let's put it on our money. Let's, look, whoever came up with this design was a genius. For the $1, screw all the coins. What kind of nonsense? The $1, that was a genius. That goes to show that, ladies, it is your turn to give us money. And this is not coming from Eagle FM. This is not coming from me. This is coming from the central bank. Because, yeah, the money day for all the madam. Eagle FM, good morning.
Oh, good. Bobo?
Yeah, Bobo.
How the body now?
No, the body is perfecto thanks to the central bank.
We say the body day and that cross. The body and that cross. Oga, make you know it's time. How life now?
Life is very
good.
Life is very exhausting because I'm here sitting through a live stream of the money I didn't chop.
Oga, why they chop so many? Why never share with us now?
But when it comes to answering the questions now during cross examination,
make you no lie, oh God. Like, as you don't lie, me. They go to say, the guy will say, oh God, you don't lie, make you no lie, oh.
Eish.
The problem is that you cannot keep lying.
TK?
So, after a minute, you are forgotten already.
TK? Yesterday I witnessed someone that went to Stellenbosch failed to do 10-8, 8-2. That means the court is not a joke.
yesterday when we were talking about the law ought to be, that was, those kind of concepts.
It's not what it ought to be or something like that.
Issues of that nature.
Yeah.
And I of me, as I get powerful, become a director, I go sign up everything.
You can answer questions for court.
But people ask them, what about leadership, the boards?
Uh-huh.
So if you know that now, I mean, so we need to understand some of these policy acts that you are saying in terms of the children and all these things, because you might end up lying, and we don't want the children to be a burden to the state.
Yeah.
After we chop the money.
Well,
after we chop money, we don't squander that money.
This case is going to teach everyone who is interested, company law, contract law, and property law, and commercial law rolled into one. And throw in criminal in them. And
you know, one thing that I was asking when you were talking about, it's fine, it's a criminal charges, okay?
Yeah.
But it's a civil court proceeding. But how do you then combine the both?
I think that's something that the court is obviously going to go through their experience and qualifications and basically how to classify this case, whether it's criminal, whether it's civil, or they will just have to make that decision. But obviously,
you can already see that they have got the component, the element.
That's the thing, right?
Most of those things, they have all met the definitional element for those people to, whether you are charged with the criminal issues. I understand about the case laws that they are presenting and all the things, arbitration and all this company law that you are talking about, commercial and things like that.
Yeah.
But does it mean that when you look at the money laundering and all these other issues?
Yeah. The money laundering aspect also is, the burden of proving that is on the state. If they prove it, using obviously the evidence given to them by the investigating officers, and they prove that there was, they prove that there's a money laundering that took place, then that's when the court will be like, well, this was money laundering from, obviously we are going to either go to the main trial and then we're going to send you to jail. But again, yes.
Okay. So for us, we just the talk.
We just sit and wait. which is why I keep saying that we just sit and wait for the judgment. Because if we just listen to what the lawyers and the prosecution are saying, they are both supporting their case.
But you see, the issue is that you see, for example, administrative law.
Yeah.
So you have the policy, all this policy statement that were read. And for you, you know your functions, the roles of the, all these other things. If you, I'm just saying, if you, unlawfully do that now, then what? Criminal, civil case, fine. Go to for arbitration, arbitration and mediation, and I saw this kind of argument. It's a dispute that require that level. But there are a lot of elements in terms of criminal and all this, even when you are just lying. I'm just saying,
Now you know how difficult. Now you know how difficult it to be the judge.
I understand. But see, because you see, it's their liberty, their fundamental freedom, and all these things to have the thing.
Uh-huh.
But I won't know it now whether that I heard this one guy is not around.
There's one that was said that there's one that has been alleged to have Frank Frederick his way out of the country, and right now we are still trying to sort of like see if we are trying to see if we are going to see the men on the stand to explain the best ways to get out of the country.
Maybe we go for Stellenbosch, my brother. You know, Stellenbosch was one of those guys, I don't know, the history of the Afrikaner.
Mm-hmm.
very intelligent ones. They know the calculation when it comes to company laws, in commercial law, whatever you are saying, even when it comes to criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
They are so well aware. They are invested in those kind of things. So, yeah. Okay, make your job.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. It is very important to know that, education is important, blah, blah, blah. Let's just, move on to something that is not going to get, is not going to get me, is not going to get me my teeth punched out. All right. The Ministry of Education is not just the Ministry of Education and basically the whole state is in mourning of the two or three teachers that have taken their lives, and they are all men. That's somewhat okay, at this point, it's kind of difficult to say what is going on. And, I think we should start greeting each other in our own languages, I think. You know, Gepi, Wana, Pinduka, yes. Because this whole English is just, it's not giving a full picture. And then you have, this is a combination of a lot of factors. Because what is the burden that is so heavy you can't talk to someone about it? What's a burden that's so heavy, you don't have a single person that you trust to sort of like, help you carry that burden? And I know that's I know that's more easier said than done. And I'm saying this as a guy because it's a global phenomenon, and that is it's a global phenomenon of men being dominating the suicide statistics. And we're still sort of like trying to figure our way, how to mitigate that. What is the problem? How do you, help people reach out? Now I have had a bunch of my friends, I have had a bunch of my friends and family members call me and go like, you're fine, right? Like, and three of them are women. Like, which I was like, well, thank you, but yeah, I am. Commercial break.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA, and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Aneria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut. If you just tuned in, this is a comedy show. Don't take any of it serious. But we still have to talk about something somewhat in a little bit of a serious direction, because it's three teachers, really. Where was I? My family members calling me and going, you're fine, right? I'm like, hang on a second. Why? Well, we're just hearing a lot of people taking their lives here, especially many. We're just checking up on you. You haven't called me in 2 years. Yeah, I know. Well, we're busy. But, this is the part now, this is the part now where I totally agree with, I totally agree with Trevor Noah. And, the economic, the modern economic structure is somewhat very social unfriendly. And you have a lot of, fake identities being put on in the name of, in the name of trying to fit in. And because of that, there's a lot of peer pressure going on. You have a lot of peer pressure going on left, right, and center. Even if you have a job, it doesn't feel like that's enough. And now I'm not saying that's the reason why the two, the two or three victims took their own lives, because one thing that's been pointed out globally is that there's a whole lot of reasons why people just decide to take their own lives. And one example that I always use is was that Miss USA 2019, who was an accomplished lawyer. She had a master's business administration. She was a Miss USA, went for Miss Universe. And then, and then one day she just decided to end it all, leaving everything she had and at least a note for her mom. Now, at least, when you look at that, it's kind of difficult not to ask yourself one question. What happened? Obviously she wasn't broke. She wasn't poor. She wasn't ugly. She wasn't, believe me. She wasn't dumb. Again, this is someone that, went to school and decided to get a master in business administration and an advanced degree in law all at the same time. So she was IQ level all through the roof. So I think the most complicated part of how we define satisfaction in terms of livelihood is goes beyond monetary, and I think what makes it more complicated. It's kind of difficult then to find out what's going on in someone's life. First of all, the only person that can tell you what's going on what's going on in my life is me. So in other words, if I lie to you, no one else, if I decide to lie to you, no one is going to tell you the truth. That then creates a very complicated burden of how do you get someone that you care about to tell you the truth about what they really are going through? Because we often don't do that, maybe we should start greeting each other in our own native languages, because English is very standardized, especially if it's a second language. So every time someone asks me, how are you? Well, it just go, you know, now the by default response, so it seems like, I think it's just all across all languages. How are you? The by default response is, I'm fine. Even if you're not fine, you're going to say, well, I'm fine. And I don't want to talk about it. And one thing that I can also tell you from experience as a guy is that we have this very toxic trait of going into isolation every time that, every time that we are going through stuff. I've been yelled at like 1,000 times because of that. So you just, you get to the point where you feel like you look at what you're going through and you just go like, even if I tell anyone, they're not going to understand. I know. Believe me, I do. I feel like, how do I put this? You overanalyze what you are going through. And I'm not sure about ladies, but I think, most, if not all guys can relate to this. You get to the point where you have, you overanalyze what you are going through to the point where you start telling yourself, no one is going to understand. And what's worse is if you reach out to a family member or a friend and they shut you down, because then that will just reinforce that thought. And then you just be like, you know what? And you bring in some toxic, philosophies like, if you want a job well done, do it yourself. Oh my God. That's when you go like, well, I guess it's true what they say. If you want a job well done, do it yourself. Now, when you factor in the economic problems we're going through, you begin to realize that, what if the person that I want to ask help from is just going through is having troubles of themselves? And we can all relate at this point because, someone reached out to us for help and then we just looked at the message and went like, well, I really want to help, but I also have a burden to deal with here. So what do I do? So it's, the verse in the Bible about, the blind leading the blind scenario. That's what it sort of like becomes like. So, this is where now I begin to tell people, guys, when you ask someone for something, especially money or you're borrowing their car or you're borrowing any time that they are giving you, you have to understand just how much of a sacrifice they are making. The money they are giving you, not firing shots, obviously, the money they are giving you, they don't have a lot of it. It was earmarked. I decided to go political on that one. It was earmarked for something else. So them giving you that money just shows you how much they trust you, how much they really, how much they really went all out to help you. They didn't give you that money because they have a lot of it to the point where they have a lot to spare. No. Unfortunately, money you don't have a lot to spare unless you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Or the Russian president, because homeboy is just is more loaded than Elon Musk. But anyway, you have a lot of thoughts that are floating in your head at this point. Who do I go to ask for help that is not having trouble or problems of their own in their own lives? Now, In one of my favorite comedy TV shows, that is Boy Meets World. I think that aired in, is it 1994? Yeah, it's 1994, 1996. It's one of those 90s TV shows. And I really like watching 90s TV shows because, first of all, they still had comedy back then. People were not offended by things like, you're black, you're white, you're gay, you're tall, you're fat, you're short, you're fat, and all that. So comedy still thrived back then. Now people are, offended by everything. You tell him, don't cross the road. You're about to get, you're going to get run over by a car because, well, the robot light have not turned green. What do you think? I am stupid. You know what? I can think on my, okay, fine. Go, get run over. So we go chop kapana at your funeral, idiot. Now, anyway. So how then do you get someone? How do we get our loved ones? And by the way, when it comes to subjects like this, we are all in trouble. We could, any one of us could be a victim. I know it's, when you're throwing a party, it's kind of difficult to tell yourself. It's kind of easy to tell yourself, man, I can never do that. You know, we're just sitting in the studio going like, well, every time I walk through town square, this is just me. This is how I find comfort in life. Every time I walk through town square, I see a lot of reasons in miniskirts, for me to go on living. And I just look around and go like, yep. Unless they have that in the grave or in heaven or hell, no. Now, the thing is, last time I checked, there's no mention of Nyash in the Bible, being in heaven. There's no mention of Nyash in the Bible being in hell. I'm a Christian, so I can, that's the angle I'm looking at it from. There's no mention of, mention of Nyash in the grave. At this point, I'm going, now, if I was Muslim, maybe I could go, 77 virgins. But we don't have that in Christianity. So I go like, go to heaven, sing hallelujah every day. Go to hell, burn every day. Go to the grave, rot. So believe me, life, whether you like it or not, we're going to do this. Ouch. Yeah, I know. That's me. And, as a comedian, that's my approach to life. You find your own strategy and, on how to handle it. But there's one gentleman, there's one guy that made a video on TikTok where he asked one question. And the question was, how are you all going through life without being worried about what people think about you? So it was stitched by one guy that made some points I thought were very important to share with you. So whether you like it or not, you're going to hear them. The point he made was that, from my understanding, I don't really know what you are thinking. I'm not a mind reader, so I don't know what you are thinking, which is why every time I want to find out what you are thinking, I ask you. So, which is true. So that means more often, when we think that, when we think that people hate us, we are basically creating a mean image of that person in our heads. That does all these mean things. So in other words, I'm the one that's creating a mean image of you in my head and then using that to justify my hate for you. Wait, what?
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save and you save.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu. Bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in
Well, it seems like our case have started, so let's go. Not our, there. See your life.
I mean, all final approvals and signatures are done by the managing director.
Correct. All right. And then that culminates in the entering of an agreement, isn't it, between NAMCOR and the resellers?
That's correct, Your Worship.
And those agreements we would call fuel supply agreements, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Worship.
And those fuel supply agreements, the signatory to those agreements in respect of your employer would be yourself?
That's correct.
Your radio is fine. It's the internet.
Of that nature, it paginated page 185 of the bundle of native page 185 of the bundle of documents. One such agreement you will find at 185. Once you are there, you can just inform me.
I'm there, Your Worship.
All right, so that is typically the kind of agreement you would enter into with the fuel resellers or petroleum products resellers.
That's correct.
Okay. And in terms of those that agreement, there would be, it regulates then that relationship.
That's correct.
I've also seen, and I want to just ask you to I want to propose to you that those agreements with the fuel resellers also contain dispute resolution.
clauses.
That's correct.
With me, when I put the following statement to you, what would you say? And that statement is, if you look at the credit policy of NAMCO, it excludes the institution of criminal proceedings against debtors of
Yo, the internet is not interneting. And what sucks is it's going in and coming in. It's going
arising
out.
From it. What's the range? Because I want us to understand that this is not a unique agreement that was entered to with these entities.
Mm.
Give us a range, Nick. Agreement that was entered to with these entities.
Mm.
Give us a range in your tenure.
I must have signed at least a dozen or dozen and a half of this type of agreements.
All right. Then I want you to please
you all remember the article that came out earlier this year that pointed out that Namibia is one of those countries with the slowest internet on the planet? Well, if you needed proof, congratulations, there you have it. Because, Exhibit 1. It's loading. Actually, Exhibit 10 at this point of loading. Internet is buffering. So, let's just do that. And cake. Yep.
States that following the transfer of ownership of the assets from NAMCO Trading, NAMCO Trading in that agreement at the same time authorized Enercon to utilize and store their petroleum products that are procured from NAMCO in those assets.
That is correct.
So it's a purchase from Enercon, and then at the same time you said once transfer is taken, Enercon now has the right and authority from the new owner.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081.
For the first time here at the court.
Okay. You meet him here for the first time. Are you aware that he's charged with making a... Okay. However, you meet him only here for the first time.
That's correct.
Okay. The previous question I asked you around who would typically be representing Erongo Petroleum CC, we agreed with him.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Apart from NAMCO having purchased the assets from the Enercon, your personal relationship with this, the first and the second applicant, is actually good.
Well, yeah, it's not bad, but I mean, I actually know.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
well,
and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
You can proceed.
And it receives funding from government as well, the National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia.
That's correct.
And the National Petroleum Corporation, or NAMCO, also has two subsidiaries, as you mentioned.
That is correct, Your Worship.
One of them is NAMCO. Are you saying NAMCO Trading and Distribution, NAMCO Trading and Distribution had a different budget from the one of the parent company?
That's correct.
So I put it to you that proposition you are trying to put to court is absolutely not true. That NAMCO Trading and Distribution is a different
director of both companies, and I was the managing director of both companies.
So how then plausible is your explanation to say you are managing this and the parent company, but yet you are saying it's a different entity altogether from the parent company? NAMCO Trading and the parent company. NAMCO Trading and Distribution, you are saying, yes. Yes, well, I was the managing director.
Petroleum Corporation, a creature of the statute. They are two different entities. You can have two schools being headed by one principal. It doesn't make them one school. I think it's unfair to carry on with this question because this will be apparent. During the closing submission,
keep funding from government. In fact, that is our position from the statutes. Also, it's a state-owned enterprise, which does not have a separate legal entity from the parent company. So, what is being said is lies. That is not according to the law or the correct position in the law.
Yesterday. Issue about the two
legal identity. They are
disagree with it, Your Worship.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. NAMCO Trading and Distribution, does it have its own office separate from the one at Aviation Road?
It's housed at... One Aviation Road as well.
In the same building?
In the same building.
Okay. In a Production Act 2 of 1991.
That's correct, Your Worship.
And therefore, in the same vein, after it was established, the parent company now, the subsidiaries were then thereafter established. There cannot be an establishment of a parent company without the subsidiaries. The parent company first and then the subsidiaries. You agree?
Yeah, the subsidiaries. Were established later.
Okay. Now, Mr. Mulunga, when you... So, the analogy you are trying to put, I'll put it to you, is you trying to put the analogy that, well, the hand is not part of the body. Is that what you are saying with regard to the relationship between NAMCO, trading and distribution, and NAMCO, the parent company?
No, it's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is that according to the law and according to the register.
Slow down.
Making, if I may continue, Your Worship, making NAMCO trading and distribution a private company, not a public company.
Bulk storage facilities. Do you see that, sir?
As I see it, also.
Comprising those assets and any and any and all equipment used by Enercon in conjunction with the operation of the of said assets. Set forth in Exhibit B, attached here too. Conflicting versions in this court. In fact, yesterday in your evidence in chief, or rather in cross-examination by Mr. Namanje, you said you were buying bulk storage facilities from Enercon. Are we in agreement?
We are in agreement, Your Worship.
Yes. Just hold on.
Your Worship.
Yeah.
The proposition being put to the witness must be fair and in context. You would recall, Your Worship, that Mr. Namanje asked this witness specifically to classify what these bulk storage facilities are that he's referring to. The confinement to simply stating to this witness bulk storage facilities, Your Worship, is under those circumstances unfair, because it was elaborated what those assets are, Yusuf?
He has answered and the objection is overruled. Yes. We can proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. Now, but then the agreement that you entered into, by you, I mean you as the managing director of NAMCO, which is the National Petroleum Corporation, the agreement that you entered into with Enercon was for the bulk storage facilities.
I did not enter into an agreement with Enercon as managing director of the National Petroleum Corporation of Namibia. I entered into an agreement with Enercon as the managing director of NAMCO Trading and Distribution.
Not to do anything about that.
Yes. The question was clear and the answer was also very clear. That he did not enter as MD of NAMCO, but in his capacity as MD of NAMCO Trading.
Yes.
Was claimed that MTC was not a subsidiary of Namibia Post and Telecommunications Holding. In fact, in that judgment, the court says it is indeed true that MTC is a subsidiary of Telecom, and as such, it receives funding from government, and therefore they cannot be a separate entity. MTC cannot claim that, well, we are not part of this entity. So I just want to bring that to the attention of the court. In fact, when we adjourn, advance the documentation necessary to ensure transfer of ownership. Access to NAMCO, NAMCO Trading. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Before NAMCO Trading, as you are saying, or as the document says, paid the 53,212,000. Did NAMCO trade there?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Are you in a position to show us? Because we have not seen... Okay. Are you in a position to show us? Because we have not seen that. Where is that?
It's basically the asset register.
Okay. You agree with me that the word ownership documentation is not used in the same way as asset register. There are quite different aspects.
Objection, Your Worship. I think the ownership of the asset today to NAMCO. Please accord Your Worship. Asset today to NAMCO. Please accord Your Worship.
And we're getting longer.
I disagree with that. Proposition, because the word asset register and ownership documents are not the same. So he's misleading the court with that objection. And asset register. An ownership document, something that is in your register, would not necessarily mean it's yours.
It can, it's semantics, and it at the end of the day, it will go to arguments to see whether the word "or" indicates whether NAMCO Trading or Enagon had the option to submit one of those listed documents, or if the word "and" is used to say all those listed documents necessarily need to be submitted. But the issue of those assets purchased by NAMCO Trading belong to Enagon was clarified when my clients submitted their evidence. So I think my colleague should also have regard to that evidence when posting unfair questions to this witness in the box.
Any response? In ownership was provided. So that answer has been answered. It has been put and answered.
Yes.
Whether put and answered.
Yes.
Whether it's the asset register or something else,
as the court is.
Do you understand? His position is that it was provided, and according to his evidence, the asset register. was the proof of document ownership.
As the
that is for the record.
As the
with what page?
That would be, if I may assist, page 77
yes.
of bundle D1 page.
Yes.
77 and 76 of bundle D1 page.
Yes.
77 and 76.
All right. Let's proceed to page 76. You stop, Anacon. Do you see? In fact, it's on page 77. It's as that.
I don't agree with your first point that they are the ones that did the. What did you say?
Let me put it this way, Mr. Mlunga.
Let me just let him finish.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree that they are the ones that wrote this letter to me and actually. It gave me the proof that this is the assets that belong to Enerco. That I can confirm. I don't know whether they did any other studies.
Okay.
They wrote this letter.
All right. Ducatus Financial Consultants, what entity are they? What do they do?
Specifics of Enercon. I don't know why my colleague is putting that question to this witness when he failed to put it to the appropriate persons who would have been in there. Why my colleague is putting that question to this witness when he failed to put it to the appropriate persons who would have been in the best position to give that evidence.
Yes.
Worship, if I may, in addition to that, my objection is a simple one. The witness says, I do not know these Ducatus. Then my colleague follows up with a question of putting a statement to the witness that he must either confirm. A dispute about something that he does not know. That is unfair.
The internal auditors of Eneco Namibia were to provide proof of ownership of the facilities, and that is what proof of ownership of the facilities, and that is what was done.
Okay, so when you received this document on page 76, you received it under what circumstances, knowing what did it mean to you? It came from what entity?
No, from the internal auditors of Telecom.
All right. Now, let's go back to the asset. There are money, 53 million.
Asked many times and answered many times. And the witness referred to the said asset register is provided by the auditors of Enercon. Let's not be repetitive in motion. If he doesn't have a question to ask, he can simply rest his case.
Any response?
Well, it's a different question, Your Worship. No. So I, because it says before the payment of the purchase price. That's what the question is premised on. And here it says on page 53. That was at the time the agreement was being entered into. And at 54 it says the payment of the purchase price.
From the applicant, the first applicant, in as much as you put that question, it appears he will not change.
Yes.
Do you have any other different answer?
I have no different answer to the question.
All right. I'll move to page 63, still of that same bundle, which is an offer to acquire Enercon Namibia. Petroleum Assignat letter dated 8 July 2022. On the bottom there it says, yours faithfully, Emmanuel Mulunga, Managing Director. So it was you that made the offer. You agree?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. And what you offered to acquire were the assets, not the title, right? Because the keyword being the assets. The assets. Are we clear?
Yes, we are clear.
Okay. So, when did the issue of rights...
Your assets come from. Your Worship, we must not forget that in addition to being officers of the court, there are certain things that govern how we do our work. It's not for this court to go into an agreement that is entered into freely between parties that don't involve any of us and go and decide and impose an interpretation to those terms that are enclosed there and agreed to expressly. So we have to move from that premise and
get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a...
Sir, yes. The council is using the words written on the offer itself. So this question...
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, this organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral,
Namco trading and distribution, and Enecon Namibia Pty Limited.
Well, when you entered into the agreement with So him referring me to the document.
Yes, Councillor. Yes, these documents are already on the record. If you tell me he is not asking on the document before court, I would understand. But you want him to go for that document?
No, to assist the witness, Your Worship. Because he referred the witness before that same document.
Yes, but if the witness does not understand, he will say, I don't understand the question. The witness is saying, no. According to him, what base the asset passing agreement with the full supply agreement. Yes.
Yeah, Your Worship, I would like to go there maybe just to answer the question.
Please
complete. The preamble of that document on page 186 of the bundle.
At what page?
186 of the bundle that was issued by my legal representative. Whereas the buyer wishes to purchase products exclusively from seller for its customer, the Ministry of Defense and Veterans Affairs, Government of the Republic of Namibia. Because there is a difference, Your Worship, between buying fuel from a supplier on a once-off or once-in-a-while basis, and when you exclusively purchase from them, because the volumes that Enercon Namibia was supplying to the Ministry of Defense were large volumes, you know, 700,000 liters per month. So if NAMCOR supplies that entire volume, it's a much, much different proposition than sort of selling once in a while.
Yes, I'm not sure, Council, assist if I'm wrong. I'm not sure because your answer was, why does he say the fuel supply agreement bears the offer, the asset purchase agreement?
Yes, that was my question.
Yes.
And the answer is clause 4.5 of that fuel supply agreement. 4.51.
Yes.
And if I may read.
You can proceed.
Yes. That clause says the seller and the buyer, this is now the fuel supply agreement between the two parties, the seller and buyer to enter into negotiations with respect to the purchase of all assets, pumps, canopy and tanks and related equipment belonging to the buyer, herein referred to as the equipment, at a market-related value, to be established by the parties' joint technical team. The parties further agree to negotiate within a reasonable time an amount that could be set off against the debt owed by the buyer, if any, at the time of negotiations with regards to the acquisition of the equipment. So it is not the offer letter that I wrote that birthed the asset purchase agreement. It was indeed this agreement, the fuel supply agreement between the two parties, that birthed the entire process of asset acquisition.
We can proceed.
Now, sir, is it correct that while you were the managing director of NAMCO, there were internal policies and procedures with regard to acquisition of assets?
Yes.
And one of them was that you needed board approval to purchase assets if they are about 25 million.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from
there are limitations.
Okay, so in respect of the purchase of the 9 fuel stations, or home-based fuel stations, as they were called sometimes.
What the witness made it clear that they did not buy any service station. That was clearly said during the examination, Chief.
and the cross-examination by the police. There was no buying or selling of a service station. It was the facilities or bank storage facilities that they called it. Please watch your worship.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into them.
Let me explain.
It's not an objection per se.
Yeah.
But you should equally be on the same page. No way did management for the state inform this court that Mr. So-and-so will come and testify that there is a policy, and this policy says the threshold is 25 million. But if my colleague is in possession of such a document, which I assume he is, we will only be fair, Your Worship, that he shared with defense counsel so that we can also debate in respect of that particular document, Your Worship.
Any response?
I'm in possession of it. In fact, yesterday when I wanted to dispose it with Mr. Bangamo, he had refused to accept it. And I think.
Yes, he
refused. He said he can't receive documents here. But I told him there's a document. I think why would I do that? Because there are several documents that we have disclosed to them. I'm an officer of court. Why would I stand here and lie? In fact, that document I have informed you. Can you receive this document? He refused to accept the document. So I can't shove it on him if he doesn't want to receive it.
Now, let's be clear, there was a question between my learned friend. I'm not saying it's true.
Yeah.
My learned friend and Mr. Bangalore.
Yeah.
But by his own admission, Bishop, he excludes us. So we were not informed. We don't know. And like I said, Bishop, I mean, things don't just fall out of the air to be put to witnesses. There must be a fact-based issue that is put to a witness. So, Your Worship, really, this court has a constitutional duty in terms of Article 12 to safeguard all accused persons' interest in having a fair trial. It is quite clear, Your Worship, that what is happening here is ambush, and it is not fair. The state must disclose to all of us, Your Worship, not only to a particular person.
Your Worship, I'm compared to this because my name is mentioned that I choose documents, but I must place it on record that I was never approached by state council proposing to submit or to discover any document relating to any policy of NAMCO. The only document which State Council tried to sneak in, and I refused, it was about particulars of the motor vehicle, which document was also not clear. I must place it on record. This is now becoming like a ping-pong game and child play, actually. And I'm not happy with the, I don't need to be everyone happy, but this approach must be stopped by the court. This is what you want.
Any response?
Well, also, for the sake of other, Mr. does not deserve the accused here, or the applicant in court. So I do not see the basis on which he's standing to object. His client's name was not mentioned, so I think that should also be very clear. Your Worship, with regard to the documents, in fact, fact, it was two documents. I don't know if I can then proceed, because he has already said it's about 25 million. Yeah,
no,
please.
Your Worship, insofar as it concerns me, and it's not the first time my dear friend has taken this check. First and foremost, Your Worship, the office of the court, and I will not sit by idly and allow an injustice to be perpetrated against any person for that matter. Let me just make myself very clear on the aspect. Secondly, Your Worship, you will remember that the state was brandishing that these are NAMCOR employees. Surely, Your Worship, by implication, whatever policy the state relies on is relevant to accused number four. Because it's the state's assertion that accused number four was an employee of NAMCOR. But lastly, Your Worship, we made an undertaking to you about the decorum of this court. You would recall earlier on, Your Worship, instead of dealing with an objection, my learned friend for the state wants to tell the court he will not be bullied, he will not be made to answer questions in a certain way without dealing with the objection. Your Worship, these things must stop. This court must start taking charge of this proceeding.
Yes, before the court deals with that aspect. The court, I am inviting both counsels to address me on the issue of disclosure application, because it appears this is around disclosure. Yes.
Well, Your Worship, it is only a basic tenet of the principles of natural justice. Your Worship, you will no doubt agree with me, there is the principle called audi alteram patrum. But that being said,
the state
should not be allowed to play hide and seek. And they must be forthright with these bail applicants before this court. Your Worship, an order was already made before the commencement of these bail proceedings, that the state should provide the bail applicants with disclosure of documents it intends to use in these proceedings. But also, Your Worship, it is materially unfair that the state would be allowed to use a document in ambush and deny a bail applicant an opportunity to forthright deal with that document in his or her evidence in chief. So that when the state rises to cross-examine a bail applicant in this proceeding situation, they are not taken by surprise. So, Your Worship, we are well within the shadows of what is referred to in the Constitution, Article 12, that accused persons are to be afforded a fair hearing. And when I say in the shadows, Your Worship, it is because we are in the shadows of darkness where things have been hidden.
Any other?
Your Worship, I would just use my colleague's vote here. Your Worship, on the issue of closing the bail process, the court is entitled to address the state, open bracket CA 38 of 2013, the High Court Main Division judgment 202, it was delivered on 18 July 2013, where in the issue of disclosure during bail proceedings were dealt with, and the High Court clearly stated that the accused persons must be informed fully of the charges preferred against them, and they must be provided
with any and all documentation that could be used at least as far as the proceedings are concerned in opposition of them being granted or being released on bail by the state. So on those basis, Your Worship, if my colleague accepts and respects authorities of superior courts, the defense will be entitled to any and all documents that the state wants to rely on in opposition of bail to any and all accused, including my client, albeit our case has been closed. God bless you.
Your Worship, I will not be long because I think we have wasted the last time on this issue. Because when you look at the article from Your Worship, it talks about an accused person to be given an opportunity to prepare their defense before they can approach the court. This is a bail application. The state is objecting to bail. They have set out the grounds for objection. And in support of those objections, they must put forward evidence, including documentary evidence. Applicants, as of right, are entitled to receive those documents before moving the application. That is the essence of discovery in civil matters or disclosure in criminal proceedings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any rule relating to discovery or disclosure. You cannot disclose or discover during the proceedings, Your Worship. It's an error. I never seen this, and these things, a decision must be made. Please approach, Your Worship.
Your Worship, if I may, I know that the court invited us to make submissions in respect of the issue of disclosure, but I submit with respect, Your Worship, that the issue comes down to just one distinction, the distinction between disclosure of the police docket, which is a separate issue and governed by different principles in our law, and the second one is disclosure for purposes of bail proceedings. So, Your Worship, when you evaluate our submissions, that is the prism through which you must look at these submissions that are being made by all counsel. In addition to that, and that is actually more important, this issue was already overtaken by events. Where we are now is a document was given to one counsel. So there's no debate about whether they should discover or not. And that is what I understood from my colleague, that he understands the principle pertaining to disclosure in bail proceedings. That is why on the first day he requested time to make copies, because those are the documents the state will rely on to oppose our client's applications for bail. So that issue is settled. What we are dealing with now is a document that was presented to one counsel for whichever reasons, and I'm not attributing any malice to my colleague. Sometimes you forget, it's a long matter, there are a lot of documents. I'm not saying also that is what happened. Where we are now is that a document was presented, allegedly, to Mr. Baba Ngwabo. He refused that document, and for some reason that refusal is imputed to all of us. And when it is being raised by Mr. Casper, he's effectively being told to keep quiet because it's not his client. While we know very well that these charges are framed and are related to, the way they frame them is to say people were acting in concert, if I must put it simply. So it might appear to my colleague that it does not affect all our clients in his view, but we are entitled to have regard to those. And Mr. Mbabagwambo's refusal, whether it's true or not, should not be imputed to the rest of us.
Yes.
Your Worship, firstly, I think my colleagues are well aware that this is a bail application. It's not a trial. In fact, I would like to also remind the court, or just inform the court, that during the case for applicant 1 and 2, there were documents that relate to title deeds or documentation with regard to the car. Those documents, in fact, were not submitted when the client was testifying. We were informed that those documents would be available to us at a later stage. So I'm trying to put this in context that in a bail application, it's unlike a trial where we should disclose everything before the commencement of the trial. So in a bail application, we disclose documents as then and at that moment when we have those documents. My colleague should also take into account that at this moment we have to go through a lot of documents, and that's why we disclose them in the manner that we do. And if documents are available to them and they refuse to accept the documents, I must admit that yes, it was to Mr. Bagamabo, but that attitude has also been displayed to counsel, although that is not before court. But what I'm saying is that when documents are disclosed to us by counsel at a later stage, we do not take issue with that, and those documents are submitted to court. But when we want to disclose to them, they refuse the document and say, I'm not going to receive that document. That leaves us in a predicament, Your Worship.
Yes.
That will be all. I leave it in the hands of the court.
Your Worship, I think it's quite important that the record be says that the context is everything. Insofar as made the discovery, my learned friend is now complaining about the case from the end of the accused for the bail application. You will recall, Your Worship, that there was an engagement between Mr. Namangi and the learned friends for the state, where Mr. Namangi informed that the personal particulars of one of the bail applicants were handed up by agreement. And the expectation was that there is no, or at least the understanding was that there was no objection from the state insofar as the contents of those personal circumstances were concerned. Relatedly, the state raised the issue concerning ownership about title deeds and so on and so forth. You will recall, Your Worship, that the next day Mr. Namangi came here with a big pile of documents, and that was presented to the state, in particular to Ms. Hinda. So, I mean, that is quite distinguishable, Your Worship, from the present circumstances before court. But I must also say to my learned friend for the state that it is entirely unfair. It is below the belt that he should stand up and make a submission that we have been refusing the acceptance of documents, Your Worship. You will no doubt recall, Your Worship, that we have been complaining about the shambolic state in which we keep receiving documents in these proceedings. But we have no less been accepting them, Your Worship. So my colleague for the state should just do the honorable thing, Your Worship, and not brandish us all under the same rubric. Support, please.
Yes, the matter will stand down. The court will indicate when.
Was that there is no, or at least the understanding was that there was no objection from the state insofar as the contents of those personal circumstances were concerned. Relatedly, the state raised the issue concerning ownership about title deeds and so on and so forth. You will recall, Your Worship, that the next day Mr. Namangi came here with a big pile of documents, and that was presented to the state, in particular to Ms. Hinda. So, I mean, that is quite distinguishable, Your Worship, from the present circumstances before COVID. But I must also say to my learned friend for the state that it is entirely unfair. It is below the belt that he should stand up and make a submission that we have been refusing the acceptance of documents, Your Worship. You will no doubt recall, Your Worship, that we have been complaining about the shambolic state in which we keep receiving documents in these proceedings. But we have no less been accepting them, Your Worship. So my colleague for the state should just do the honorable thing, Your Worship, and not brandish us all under the same rubric. Support, please.
Yes, the matter will stand down. The court will indicate when.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome. That's how it ends, ladies and gentlemen. Although, you know, it did not really end because the last thing we all heard the judge saying was the matter will stand down, because they seem to be, things got a little heated towards the end that basically led to the, to the standing down. And this started, loosely because, not loosely, I think it's safe to say, primarily because of the, primarily because of, the disagreement that seems to have come up between the prosecution and the defense lawyers when it comes to how the documents of evidence should be presented to the witness. There are no witnesses, the suspect in this case. That's the former NAMCO managing director, Ims Mlunga, who is now being cross-examined before the judge ordered the court to stand down, which is basically, and there was no, our usual, we are going to take, the court is going to take, a health break that we've been hearing. And that didn't happen in this case. And if you were listening towards the end, then you basically hear you picked up the tit for tat sort of like going on between the between the state and the defense lawyers in a way that evidence must be submitted. And there's You can sense the anger at this point. You can sense the anger. It's just that, you are acting in a professional capacity and you also don't want to involve emotions in the way that you are doing your job. And we had that when, Miss Elindi was being, took the stand. The first thing that, the judge pointed out was that, we don't have a time for emotions. This is court of law. We want you in your clear state of mind as you answer your questions. And this is basically leading up to what we saw as more of a heated argument in a professional way, because you can just sense the anger in a way that the prosecution just dumped all the papers on the table and were like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I think that's what he said deep, deep inside. But I'm not gonna put words in his mouth. Now, where is this all going? Now, one thing that was pointed out, from yesterday. We will continue. But, basically we are suspending this whole argument until further notice. It's not court adjourned. It's basically a professional way the judge saying that, let's put a pause on this and let's just go and settle this privately. Because the whole thing is, the whole thing is about, as you can imagine, I think it's safe to say that right now, as we speak, both the prosecution and the state are in the judge's chambers explaining just what the heck that was. Yeah, so, which is why the judge did not indicate that we are going to be back in 10 minutes. He basically said the court will indicate when when we are going to come back. Primarily because of one document that the state wanted to include in their cross examination of Mr. Mulunga, and the representatives objected to the use of that document because it was not given to them from the look of things, it's basically something new, something new that was brought up that the defense lawyers are not aware of, and they were literally referring to it as a more of an ambush way of submitting, submitting documentary evidence. And that's where we are seeing that they seem to be, to be a technical interpretation in a somewhat different way between the state and the defense lawyers, where some of the lawyers seems to be pointing towards, one gentleman used, CISA, I think it was a CISA Namaji as an example over how he submitted some of the evidence. And they also seem to be the technical nitty-gritties on how to submit or how to present different types of evidence. And by the way, it's a whole module on its own, the law of evidence. Now, on how to submit which evidence, and nothing really is black and white in this line of work, because everything is circumstantial, although circumstantial is not the right word to use in that, because then that will, when your case is referred to as circumstantial, is basically calling your case dumb, which is by circumstantial I mean that in a literal sense, that in a literal sense of the word circumstantial, in a way that each and every case is going to have, each and every case is going to have, it's going to be judged based on its own merit, albeit judicial precedent is going to be referred to. That's the use of old cases of similar facts and matter to make a decision on a present case. But before continuing, commercial break.
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry. You can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features.
And welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of 12. If you just tuned in, you are listening to one of those, this week's, more like a, magistrate court in the matter of, state versus Mulunga and 12 others, a break, more like a, you know, a break session every time that the court goes on a break. We sort of like just try to look at what was discussed so far, and like I like to point out, I'm not a legal expert or an analysis. I am a comedian, and I love that title. So moving on. Well, this the whole what seems to be one of the most, if you ask me, professional squabble I've ever witnessed in the in a court case. Started off with, with the state, with its prosecution of Imps Mulunga, and their line of questioning was sort of like trying to find out just, what type of a relationship was going on, what type of a relationship in terms of fuel supply, or more like, agreements that, that Enercon had with NAMCO. And again, we are back to yesterday's discussion. Which NAMCO? This case, as it was established yesterday, and it was also emphasized this morning, that the agreement, the agreement was, was primarily with NAMCO Trading and Distribution, which is a private arm, aka subsidiary of, aka subsidiary of the NAMCO that you and I know. The state one. And, the state seemed to be, be on the disagreeing side on the separation in terms of, in terms of juristic entity ship between the state NAMCO that you and I know and the one that some of us only found out about yesterday, what looks to be the commercial arm. To be the commercial arm, that's, if you were following, the examination in chief that spilled over, that subsequently spilled over into the cross-examination of today. From what have been said so far, if you just go through, especially, the first session of yesterday's, examination in chief, then, they seem to be, holding, holding company versus, subsidiary or operational entity going on here. Now, which took me and, which took me back to, 2022. I twisted my ankle heading to 2022 articles of, when the World Bank, criticized the NAMCO, that is the NAMCO that you and I know, for being both a player and a referee in the oil sector in Namibia. Now, which I couldn't help but sort of look at it and go like, this is genius. Because look at, if, and this is a man-sized if, which is, that's why I like to say, wait for the judgment case. The NAMCO that you and I know, has a subsidiary, which is NAMCO Trading and Distribution, which is does all the commercial, heavyweight lifting. Whoever set up that structure was a genius. Because we could basically say, we just the holding company. We're not engaged into any activities or any trading. We don't trade. We're just a holding company. So the company that, our subsidiaries do all the trading. So in other words, we are just regulating. We are not competing. You gotta love company law. France, sometimes I get carried away with these things. They are like chocolate. They are like a kid in a candy store for me.
Don't worry, I'm like an old man sitting next to a child playing games on an iPhone.
You don't know where to start.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. But I'm here to listen because that's why I'm saying I always rush here whenever there's a break so that I can come and listen to how you break it down.
Watch me start a political party.
Why political party?
No, I wouldn't dream of that. No, not a chance.
This is what I tell people, that if you see me under any political legalia or,
with a flag on top of your house?
Yeah. Like for a political party, you really need to pray for me.
Okay. What if you found connections?
No, not to be in a political formation. I've always been apolitical.
It's always about a greener pasture, France.
No, this is one thing that my father died. And we fought with my father on this issue.
Of politics?
When he thought I missed a very important opportunity in my life, of a political opportunity. I was offered a political, opportunity by, the late Theo Ben.
Ha.
Huh. Yeah.
In other words, you are broke on purpose. Hey, I can't.
No, look.
Unbelievable.
Look. The little that I could get that time I was just hustling on my own. The little that I could get was little, but look, I will have more peace than to be in a political formation.
Because there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no, because look, a person like myself will not fit in that easily.
That's because you ask too many questions. You don't ask, just follow.
You see, that's why I don't subscribe to any denomination.
Again, same problem.
Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't subscribe to any, to any denomination.
Because you ask too many questions.
No, because at least I know. I know when you are telling it all, like in terms of a lie,
mm-hmm.
And I know when you are telling truth. So, to me, a lie is like smoking cigarette. You'll always smell cigarette. There is no way you are smoking and you are smelling like applying Nevia. Cigarette will never smell like Nevia. It will always smell as a cigarette. So that's how reality to me is. It's as real as it. I will not be able to afford to be political or to be denominational because that's already choosing a side.
Now, this is, now,
Now, the technicalities in this thing is giving me a headache, and I'm not even involved into going through all the bundles the lawyers have to go through in order to prepare for their cases.
Like, one thing is I'm reading through, you know, and, you know, I'm reading through a lot of, you know, live streams. A lot of comments that are being left by people that are just watching through live streams. And, you can tell a lot of questions are brewing, and they all need answers. And I know we all have those questions, which is why I can't sing this enough. Judgment case. Because this is going to be in one of them. Now, this whole tit, the tit for tat is obviously going to go on with every witness that's going to take a stand. The state is going to oppose the bail application. The defense lawyer will try to prove why their client deserve to be given bail. So it's an antagonistic structure that we have set up. Well, like legally, you have two opposing sides. There's not a single witness, there's not a single witness that will be cross-examined, and both sides will be like, yeah, you know what, you're right. We totally agree. That witness is right on that one. That witness is wrong on this one. They will be, you know what, well, my client did not say that. They said this, and what they meant was this. So, from the look of things, where we're headed is, and we have a lot of headaches so far. Who is going to be held accountable? That's where we started. Who did something wrong? And that's where we started talking about the tearing. That's why we started the hearing from the early on of this whole hearing, the tearing of the corporate veil. And that's because, on all the actions that have brought Mr. Lindi where he is, and on all the actions that have brought Mr. Mulunga where he is, they were all not acting in individual capacity. Mr. Lindi was acting on behalf of Enercon, and Mr. Mulunga was acting on behalf of NAMCO. So from the beginning of the whole bail application, one thing that we kept quickly popped up was, how are we going to hold someone accountable for something they did in official capacity? Now, that's obviously, unsurprising was brought up by the defense. Again, it's something that the judge is going to put on a scale and weigh their options and try to either to uphold it or throw it out the window. So, not you, not me, the judge. Not you, not me. That's the judge's job. And apart from the individuals trying to sort of like, apart from the defense lawyers trying to separate their clients from the juristic entities they were acting on behalf of, which is a genius move if you ask me, whether the judge sees it that way is a whole different ballgame. Now, that's one more ground that the defense lawyers are standing on. And then now when we come to, entities like NAMCO, I went through five entities that are also involved, that are involved in this case. And last time I checked, all five of them are private. And from the look of things, we have added on the fifth private one now, that is NAMCO. NAMCO Trading and Distribution, which has been, brought to some of us at this attention yesterday, that it's a private arm of NAMCO that you and I know. So that brings the private entities, at least as far as my mathematics and counting goes, to six. Now, the question is,
I want to understand something. Okay. How does a parastatal create a private subsidiary?
Good question. Now, the thing is, if it's, if it's in existence.
Is that economic adultery or economic fornication?
It's not economic adultery. Okay.
No, I just want to understand because I don't understand. Because, look, for example, you have a parastatal like NHE, and then it creates another, you know, NHE, like whatever thing, and it is deemed to be private, created by a parastatal. I'm challenged in that, you know.
Like, how is that possible?
How is that possible?
How is that possible as to the technicalities of Kamban and commercial law? I have no idea. But one thing I think that's safe and that becomes very obvious is that, if it's in existence and it's being presented in court, there are laws that makes for that provision.
It could be.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, I would have characterized it as an economic adultery or at least an economic fornication.
The corporate world is full of that and worse. Now, when companies or individuals are doing business, the laws are set up in a way that, the state provides little to no interference in what's going on. Unless what's being traded is illegal, then the state will basically come in and basically will bring everything to an end because it's illegal. But if it's just a legal trade agreement, the state is tries to keep as far, to stay as far away from, you know, from private, you know, entities conducting private trade as much as possible. Although, again, there's a big but there. Like my family law lecturer always like to say that in law, nothing is black and white. There's always a but somewhere. This and this and this is how it is, but it can change in this and this circumstances. That's an answer you're going to get a lot. And if you have a lawyer, I'm sure you have gotten that before. Every time you go to them with a problem, they'll be like, yeah, actually, well, this and this and this is how it works. But we are going to do this and this and this. But in the event of this and this, but in the event of the, but, there are a lot of buts in this line of work. So, pardon me. That brings us to, okay, we have been through the corporate, the corporate veil, which the state made a reference to, actually in opposition of, in opposition of all different and different personalities, the corporate and the juristic, not corporate, you know, the juristic and the natural one. How do I put this? If you have seen, a bunch of things like LTD limited liability. Yeah, excellent term. Now, whoever designed it in a way that, if I'm running a company, I want to run this company in a way that, if there is a screw up, I'm not held accountable personally. Make I explain. Okay. Now, according to the way that the American economist Richard Wolff explained it, every entity in the commercial world, at least most if not all entities, have have compartmentalized power structure. What that basically means is every entity, most if not all entities, they have shareholders on top. That like those are the guys that are at the top of the food chain. They've you have shareholders, and then after shareholders you have board of directors. Your executives. From your executives you have managers and you have the Helmuts. Now if you are part of the Helmuts character, Spiritu Santo, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Now, this whole power structure This whole power structure is designed in a way that it operates somewhat independently and somewhat not independently from the owners, aka the shareholders. Why am I saying somewhat independently, somewhat not independently? Because the shareholders can also decide on their own, depending on the company policy, of course. They can also occupy space on their own board of directors. And we have seen that, take Elon Musk, for example, founder and CEO. Homeboy decided to come just straight to the executive, and start doing things himself. And when he was heavily involved into Donald Trump's politics, he saw, he was this close to seeing his CEO position slipping out of his hands. I was like, whoa, easy, I'm going back to run my company. And now they started off as best friends. Now they hate the guts out of each other. But when it comes to politics, there is no such thing as friends. They loved each other. They found it. Loved is a little bit more LGBTQ-ish. I don't know them that well. They were very fond of each other. Oh dear. The rich guy, in comparison, decided to help fund the other poor guy in comparison to each, election. So one of them won an election, and now they say, don't bite a hand that feeds you. Donald Trump was like, yeah, I'll go bite him. But anyway, when you look at it from the angle of ownership, it becomes somewhat technically exhausting. One thing that I found really annoying in property law that gave pretty much almost everyone that did property law was the word delivery itself. The word delivery itself is a whole chapter of the word delivery. Why is it that way? It's because, buying a movable object, for example, if you're buying a car, you can deliver it. It's easy because it's a car. You can just drive it and then deliver it. But if you're buying a house, for example, it's not like you can put it on your shoulder and then take it to the guy that bought it. No. How do you then deliver a building? Nice. So that means there's a definition of delivery when it comes to a fixed object and a mobile one. My God, that was annoying. And also in terms of communication, it's also a whole different ballgame. If you are sending a letter, if you are sending an email, if you are sending a fax, when is the message said to have been delivered? That's a whole different headache. We adopted a legal system that's highly technical. Unfortunately, highly technical. Not highly reliant on your feelings and mine. Not that. Highly technical. Technical in a sense that what we follow is, you brought this person here to court. And the reason why you brought them here is because they wronged you in this and this way, according to how I feel, not according to how you feel, according to this law. France have wronged me. If I decide to sue him, I don't have that money, so don't worry about him. And he's not that diabolical as a of a person. So if you are going to decide, and well, this is something that we see, that we have seen a lot. So the easiest example would be defamation. So if you are going to sue someone for for libel or defamation, they ruined your character. The first requirement the judge is going to look at, like the first thing that you should actually know at this point, is that what was said, is it true or is it false? Let me give you an example. If I went out there and broke into a house and stole someone's, someone's properties, and, you go on social media and then write stuff that, well, Helmut was prosecuted and was sent to jail for stealing France TV. And I file a case claiming that just put in mind, I broke into someone's house. I stole someone's property. I was arrested, investigated, prosecuted, and then sentenced. I saved my time and I just got out after a very long time of not getting a lot of very healthy stuff. A lot of it. Now, so when I come out of that, if you just write something based on that, what really happened, and put it on social media, and then I file a defamation lawsuit, the judge will be like, yeah, but you stole the TV. You were prosecuted in this very court. Tell me which part of it is liable. It's none. So, in other words, if it's true, it's not defamation. Na thief, you're a thief. But if I was accused of breaking into someone's house and was accused of stealing someone's property, I went to court and then they found out that actually it wasn't me that stole it, it was someone else. And then I was acquitted of that case. I was not sentenced. They just found out, Helmut, you were accused on this. This is just this was a mistaken identity. The suspect was shot, and so are you. So they just decided, you know what? After realizing that it was a mistaken identity, we are just going to give you a break on this one. So, well, you didn't do it. You didn't. We owe you an apology. I can decide to file a counter lawsuit to basically sue them for for defamation of character because they accused me. Now, if it's true, it's not defamation. If it's false, it's defamation. Now, how are a lot of people ending up into trouble? Well, it's because of the difference between what is true and what is false. By true, what that means technically in terms of legal technicality is, can you prove it? You could have seen me steal someone's property, but if you can't prove it, I can easily sue you for defamation because I know very well I stole, but there's also one thing I know. I know you can't prove it. And if you can't prove it, you can't convince the court that it's the truth. If you can't prove to the court that it's the truth, then it's going to remain a lie. I know it's the truth, but there's no way I'm going to implicate myself. So I'll just be there saying, well, me, still, nah. I would never do such a thing. I know the TV is somewhere in my basement, but I'll still say, my lord, I would never do such a thing. If you can't prove it, it doesn't matter how true it is. You are cooked. So, in other words, you could have seen it. You saw it with your own kulukulu eyes. And if you can't prove it, you are going to hate the court for saying, well, I really tried to help you on this one, but I can only help you based on what you can prove. If you can't prove it, what do you want me to do? Again, this is one of those things that, a lot of people, especially in the public domain, find very annoying. Everyone finds it annoying, actually. We find it very annoying because you know deep well you saw it happen, but because you don't have the proof, homeboy is just walking around chilling. So, again, every time that we are listening to these things, let's put in mind just how technical these things are. Not just that, also put in mind that if something as simple as stealing someone's TV example that I just used is riddled with technicality. Now imagine a case that involves 5 juristic entities, 13, and I think is it 12 or 13 natural entities, and a myriad of business transactions. The existence of natural entities own technicalities, the existence of juristic entities, a bunch of technicalities, the transactions they conducted, a bunch of technicalities. The money that was moved, you can imagine bankers will come in there and then they will just come with their own number of technicalities of what transpired. Now, let's just take a quick break and we'll come back and continue on the other side. I don't even know what to call this show anymore. NAMCO corruption allegation bail application. Oh dear, that's a mouthful.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 28 minutes before on the radar. So the bail application is still, or more like the court is still on a break, and that goes to prove what I at least I observed with my own eyes that things were heated towards the end there, as you can imagine. The submission of evidence, or more than like the submission of, of documentary evidence is going to be overhauled in this, when the court resumes. But we still, as soon as the hearing resumes, we will bring you that discussion, or we'll bring you that live stream. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good.
Please pass the bait.
Yeah, I know for sure that you are following this case like I do.
I personally find it very enlightening.
Yeah. Now, just tell me here, who owns Anacon?
Own as in the owner of the company.
Yes.
I didn't look much into that. I'm not sure who the owner is.
But is it not the Erindi guys?
Could be, but.
They are brothers and partners in business.
The Erindi brothers.
Is that not directors?
That's actually why I'm saying, owner as in who owns, I can't give you that information, I'm afraid. Yeah.
I think just try to go back to when the court started.
Uh, yeah.
it should be owned by Mlunga.
I'm not sure if I'm not sure if it's owned, but hang on a second. I'll just see if I can get that information and then just share it with share it live here on air.
Because
the tricky thing is that that's why I said yesterday that at least yesterday was the only time I came aware of the subsidiary of the private subsidiary of NAMCO, because it's very easy to find the parent company, the parent companies and subsidiaries of a lot of companies that are operating at least on a national level, here in Namibia, because it was very easy for me to find for example that Bank Windhoek is a subsidiary of the Capricorn Group, because they have that information available. But when it comes to NAMCO, I had to hear that from the former managing director, at least, that's because the economic world, that's a Dwight and Gabriel thing.
Well, Frank.
Sure.
Mutozi.
Hey, Mutozi.
You don't know, sir, that I'm falling off a number, I mean, I
sorry to interrupt there. Now, what we have here is on the August 28 website, what it says is that Enercon Namibia Pty Limited is a wholly owned Namibian company which was first established in 2007. Wholly owned Namibian company. The company is involved in fuel construction and fuel storage facilities and management and distribution of petroleum products. Wholly owned Namibian. Now,
but who are the shareholders?
Who are the shareholders? Now, that information... who are the shareholders?
You want to make me laugh when I'm not able to laugh.
Who are the shareholders?
Yes.
Finding shareholders for a company in Namibia, that's not going to be easy, at least not on the internet. one thing I find interesting is that, that information is, somewhat, heavily guarded even for multinational corporations. But I'm not saying it's the case here. I just didn't look up the information.
Okay. No, I think let us try to do all the sub-researches. To find out the true owner of the companies, the shareholders. It can't just be that Namibians owned it. It should be
wholly Namibian owned.
Yes. But I was.
Really?
That was a private company.
If there is anything we have learned from from Mulunga's examination in chief so far is that there can be different companies into one company. Nice. So that's where things become very technical, to the point where it makes one tipsy without taking a sip of alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be following you.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for taking me into that direction. So I just decided to some of us can easily be caught in a crossfire when it comes to when it comes to digging up information about us, aka this is one thing that one thing you'll find interesting is that if you go on the August 26 website, which it's beginning to look like Enercon is a subsidiary of August 26. Now, what? let's see if we have some answers coming out of, coming from the caller. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
TK?
Morogeni.
Now, Ngabi?
Franzu. Kuchani, yana?
Ankobona.
Mutozi.
Me, I don't want you to talk to Uncle Bwana these days.
What do you do?
I mean, Uncle Bwana knows already that he has a lot of pending issues.
It's true, but he has pending issues. They'll be resolved before the Murunga ones.
Before they are resolved, don't call me.
Why? Well, TK, you are not by any way involved in that, are you?
No, the pending issues are between us. There are pending issues between me and Uncle Bwana. That's why I don't want to talk to him.
It's correct, actually. But ours is a dispute resolution. Kind of. It requires those mechanisms.
Really?
Even though they are also talking about, this is a commercial thing. A trade issue. So whether the company is owned by who, mm-hmm. as long as that entity, mm-hmm. and because they have to be reliable anyway. So now they become the legal subject, isn't it?
That's the thing, right? It becomes a way of how do you hold them accountable?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you hold them accountable? Because if it's if it's publicly owned, then then the state obviously have to have a case in that. But if it's a private to private company dispute, then it becomes a civil issue. So the state can only mediate.
Yeah, no, the state can mediate, and obviously even this civil because it is also saying that they also launched the litigation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that Google have heard about it. And when I was reading the presentation there, apparently no country, any other country have done it. It's true. So litigation is also good.
Mm-hmm.
And but like I was saying this morning, that they may also, a lot of criminal elements that have to be considered. So, and before maybe you now go, you separate them. As time goes on, you separate the ones that have to go for civil case.
Yeah.
And then you do that, and then the criminal ones have to be still go on. It's not a trial, I understand.
Yeah.
But even that bail application now,
yeah.
even if you say it's not a trial, I know it might infringe into their rights,
yeah.
according to some of those principles. But then, what do we do? Do we just say now, because the state is also presenting some evidence. This other one is also presenting some evidence.
Both sides. Yeah.
So for me, our issue with the big man there is this is a kind of a
personal one?
No, it could be a personal one, but still have to be dealt with those mediation and all these other ADRs mechanisms to sort out that. I understand it's true. I own you a lot, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
So now you are saying this is the submission of evidence.
It's basically a combination of both submission of evidence or more like the information that mm-hmm. is going to be used to cross-examine mm-hmm. a witness, because the whole thing started going south when the state pulled out a document which seems like they did not give it to the to the representatives of Mulunga,
yeah.
and they wanted then to use that to use that in their cross-examination. And then there was, the whole tit for tat basically started, and things went south from there. Like, they're supposed to do this, before using a document, or before this is not how it should be done. And then it went technical really fast. Because the state, then it became, it became technical really fast. It took the direction of, this is how you're supposed to submit documents, this is how you're supposed to use material that you're going to be using in your cross-examination, or be it examination in chief. And obviously, the judge here is caught in between a rock and a hard place. So, what do we do here? So they went on that very long break. And,
you know what, So for me, I understand that they shouldn't ambush each other. But there was an argument that was presented. There was, you know, the opinion that was put on, and I think it's also in line with the constitutional principle that yes, the evidence, the those whatever the accused or are they called accused now?
Accused until proven guilty.
Right. So they are the document that you might really have to present. Actually, are main for the accused, and of course the counselors with the accused can also then you know have insight and understanding. But it's true that yes, you can also they are actually just main mostly, basically or mainly main for the accused, and not necessarily for the counselor who are representing the accused.
Please say that again.
What I'm saying is that this document, when they provide the document, now that they are saying the document, one of the documents was not provided to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and those documents are actually made for the accused who are being closely examined or whatever. And not necessarily for the legal counsel who are representing them.
But the thing is, the legal, you know, the reason why people run around saying things, especially those with money, the reason why they run around saying things like, don't talk to me, talk to my lawyer, is because, the accused is basically going to, you know, they are going to run everything through their lawyer. So, if some new evidence that, that proves, the guiltiness of the accused comes up, you obviously have to share that with their lawyer so that they can for transparency, one of, among other reasons. Yeah.
So, the reason why they did not do it, is it that they just deliberately wanted to ambush, or was it an oversight, or what are they saying?
Well,
they went to break.
Well, that's actually part of the tit for tat, because they kept saying that, the state kept pointing out that, we shared some of this document, or at least tried to share with some of these documents with some, with the representatives, and they didn't want to take it. And then the representatives obviously stood up and said, well, they didn't share it with us. Otherwise, then why would we have rejected it? You know, it went to kindergarten really fast. And
it is tactical, but not,
it could be tactical, which is why I keep saying, we'll wait for the judgment, guys.
Yeah.
On the judgment day, on the throne, is it going to be on the throne?
It could be either the documents were not shared with the lawyers, or it could be a tactic. It could be any of these things.
May I go for the tactic one?
You're going for the tactic. France already went for the tactic, so he's way ahead of you.
Thank you very much. All right. God bless you people.
Yeah.
I think the defense tactic. No, the defense counsel won tactically. That was a tactical win for them. And now, you see, the problem, I don't enjoy tactical victories because they always want you to have a strategy after
that. Well, in this, in that line of work, the end justifies the means. And I found something interesting here. August 26th, you guys have a very nice website. I will give you that. Now, they have, they have a whole company description there, which I could go through, but then I will have to send them an invoice for marketing them. So I'm going to skip that part. Now, if you just look up Anacon Namibia, the first website that's going to pop up, or one of the first websites that's going to pop up is the august26.com.na. So it's Namibian. So, right on top, it says, it's a holding company, and on their, home/our subsidiaries, and right the word below the word subsidiaries, it say Anacon Pty Limited. Now, when you go all the way down to the bottom, you have links, you have about and everything. You know, you have our subsidiaries. It says, you know, they have, you know, Seaside Hotel, August 26, manufacturing, August 26, construction. I don't see Anacon here, so, but according to their website, they seem to indicate that it's a subsidiary of August 26. At least that's what it seems to indicate from my limited, commercial law understanding. Anacon Namibia Ltd is a wholly owned blah, blah, blah. Again, if I can read that, I'm going to have to send them an invoice. Or Eagle FM will send me one, and believe me, I can't afford it.
So Monica is already typing.
Yeah, he's typing. You know, he's getting my invoice. But but if you just look up Anacon and Namibia over the internet, the first or one of the first websites that's going to pop up is one of August 26, and it seems to be indicating that because what I can see on the website is home dash our subsidiaries, and under that Anacon Namibia Pty Limited. Now, that makes it, that puts it in somewhat the same category of, that puts Anacon into somewhat the same category as, at least to some degree, from my understanding, as NAMCO, to some degree, at the same level of NAMCO trading and distribution. Seems to be, a branch or a subsidiary. That's their word, not mine. A subsidiary of August 26. Now, what is August 26? Oh, state owned. I know. Who are the shareholders? Because, who are the shareholders? Don't ask me.
I think that can be a topic.
With who you
know, because I don't understand if a parastatal can have a subsidiary which is deep, which can be classified as private.
France, if it's in existence, it's allowed.
Yeah, that is what economists for me, I need to understand that part. It's a part that is baffling me, at least now. How can that be?
So you can just have a holding company.
How can that be? Okay, maybe. Because I don't understand economics, so that's
that's
a worse part of it now.
That's why I'm saying that's a tough for Gabriel and Dwight, because August 26, it's 100% owned by the state, by the Ministry of Defense and Veteran Affairs. Now, if Anacon is a subsidiary, that makes, that's according to them, that makes it a subsidiary of August 26, and it's 100% owned by the Ministry of Defense, makes it, at least, August 26 itself becomes 100% state owned. Does that mean it can have private share, private individuals as shareholders? I don't think so.
Mm.
Yeah, because companies like Volkswagen Group, which is Volkswagen Group, of which Volkswagen the car is a subsidiary. The majority shareholders, if I'm not mistaken, speaking under correction here, of the Volkswagen Group, I think it's the Porsche family. The Porsche is in the car Porsche. Last time I checked it, it says state-owned entity. At least it's one of those part private, part public.
You say Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a parastatal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50%, I think, government and...
Partly, part private, part public.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, I don't know about you, but what I'm gonna do, because that's a lot of technicalities in the, this whole case involves a lot of technicalities in fields of which none of which I'm an expert at. So that's why I just keep going with, you know what? I'm just going to sit and watch the whole thing unfold until the judgment is made with the, you know, because the court is obviously going to consult with all the necessary professionals to make sure that it's interpreted in the best way that is digestible to those of us that don't speak, you know, company, commercial, and legal lingo.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think today is a tactical day.
Yeah, today was a tactical.
It was a tactical win for the defense counsel.
Hey, they are not given bail yet. They didn't win.
No. Yeah. No, tactically, because the court stood down. And it was not even a break. It was a stand down.
Yeah, we're going to put a pause on this and we will resume, you know. It's one of those things I don't like. Until further notice type of, standing down.
There's something called, there's a police slogan. Investigations continue.
Yeah.
That one, it's on my nerves. If I was a computer, I would say it's my CPU up.
Well, which direction is this going? It's anyone's guess, especially if you don't have the legal analytical mind like me. This could go any of one way, but the things are not looking good for the state at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so look, if that was a tactics, it's going to make the judge really angry. Or point of correction, it has already made the judge really angry. I mean, personally, I did not expect a break. I just, expected maybe, the judge to call both the prosecution and the counsels to approach the bench. It turns out the judge was like, hey, this is gonna take a while, so let's take a break and then we'll continue. So that's where it stands, and they are still on a break, and anyone that basically watched the last 10 minutes of that thing, and you can still watch it because it's on the internet, you can just see that things were getting pretty heated. And that basically halted the cross-examination. From the look of things, the state, needed the document for their next line of questioning. But since it was being, disputed by the counsels, he can't proceed, unless he's given a go ahead. And the judge was like, should you give a go ahead? And as a judge, if you give a go ahead, and then you are accused of being in violation of among other legal pieces of literature we have in this country, section 12, a fair trial, that can you're most likely looking at an appeal, that's in a magistrate court, so we're gonna end up in the high court, and then if it becomes a constitutional issue, we are looking at a Supreme Court issue. So the best way to do it is to just, first of all, pump the brakes. We sort that one out. Then we can just decide on whether we can use this document or we should toss it aside and move to other documents. You gotta love the legal system.
Yeah, legal
jargons.
Those are the things that, okay, no, I think I'm catching up. I'll be able to catch up.
Sit through it and you'll be, it's gonna take, a lot of, back and forth. This is going to take a lot of back and forth.
In fact, I said I caught up because I followed the Fishrod case, like, and I used to give analysis on radio on what is going on. And then I realized that, you see, I've discovered something. There's something called analytical, something that I call an analytical opinion, which is good, you know.
Yeah, you see, analytical opinion, that's actually an, you see, that's an excellent point. You know, I often say that one of the most brilliant statement ever uttered by our late President Hage Geingob was when he said, legally, the oil is not ours. And people went bananas. And, now I don't think anyone just stopped to ask themselves one question. Why did he start that statement with, legally, the oil is not ours. He didn't say, I'm the president, therefore I'm saying the oil is not ours. No.
He said
legally. So in other words, according to the laws that we have as it stands, we don't own it. If you want to own it, you're going to have to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we all went, but and by God did we. And now, we as the media on the other hand, we didn't make it easy. We just decided to go, you know, to play along with this, you know, for the crowd's sake, and that was just, that was just not cool. Well, it's a minute past the hour of one. That brings us to the end of,
The tactical, bail application hearing process of today.
Well, when they resume that stream, we will be back. But until then, for me, until 4:30 when we do home run. For now,
as from where we'll see you whenever we meet.
Yep.
You
know? And yes. On the radar with, good afternoon, happy Juju. My name is. It takes over from here.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.